Everything you are comes from your decisions. As the saying goes, we make our decisions, and our decisions make us. Jesus said that those who hear his words and act on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. And that comes from Matthew 7:24. In today's sermon scripture, Paul agrees with Jesus. Paul writes, "To those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. To those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on things of the Spirit." To set the mind on the flesh is death, Paul continues, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. There are good choices, and there are bad choices. And there are consequences to each of our choices. Some consequences are good, and some are bad. Some of our choices will lead to prosperity. Others will lead to serious harm. Harm not just for ourselves, but for all those around us. Our choices affect not just ourselves, with all those around us. Paul understood that some choices are made in ignorance. Paul understood that not everyone knows of the God in whom he and we believe in. Not everyone knows of our God in three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Paul teaches, and he offers reminders to anyone who might have known, but forgot what was good and what was not. Paul also understands that there are some changes you cannot make alone. We need to be instructed how. We need to be reminded why. And we need to connect with God our Father, whose Spirit grants us the abilities we need and offers us the assistance that we hope for. Paul points out that we cannot always free ourselves from our harmful behaviors, something he calls the law of sin and death. But what we couldn't and what we can't do alone, God did and God can. God is for us and God is with us because God loves us. God wants to help us. And that's why God sends God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the grace of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are granted the opportunity to do what is right. This for ourselves and for everyone else. This so we can be helped and we can help others. What might have been out of our hands has now been handed to us. What might have been lives spent in darkness and despair are now lives living in the chosen light from which comes only happiness. Jesus Christ is the light and the hope of the world. He is our hope in his world that we live in. We've been gifted through our salvation, through our grace, and through the gifts of God that the Holy Spirit brings. These gifts are the things that bring the life and the peace that Paul is written of. The things that God has promised us and Christ fulfilled. Romans 8:1-11 comes from a letter written by the Apostle Paul about 57 years after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was living in the city of Corinth when he wrote this letter. Corinth, like Tallahassee, was a capital city. It was known as a cultural crossroads. People of all backgrounds and beliefs came to and went through the city of Corinth. If Corinth had a Walmart or a Publix, the citizens would have also stood in long lines with the equivalent of college students as well as others. But Corinth was a place of learning, even if the learning was when it was best to go shopping. All sorts of trade goods passed through Corinth, as it was also a major shipping port. The people of Corinth knew shopping. The Apostle Paul spent 18 months in Corinth during the time of his second missionary journey. When he's not preaching the good news, Paul earned money by working as a tent maker. His extensive stay in Corinth allowed him to establish a foundational Christian community. Paul planted one of the very first Christian churches in Corinth. That was not easy. Corinth was a place of learning, and one thing that most people who visited Corinth learned was that it was also a place of ill repute. These days we might refer to Corinth as the Las Vegas of ancient Greece, except that whatever happened in Corinth never stayed in Corinth. Everybody came to know what happened in Corinth, which is one reason why it was such a popular destination. Corinth's reputation for vice and for wealth was so infamous that the Greek verb to korinthize was coined to mean engaging in excessive immorality. Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, and he met sin on the streets of Corinth. Paul's extensive stay in Corinth allowed him to build a thriving church community while being surrounded by a city that was thriving on bad behavior. Just look what God can do. Paul knew about good and bad choices. Paul knew about human behavior. Paul knew the grace and the work of the Spirit. Paul knew that change was possible through meeting God and allowing the Spirit of God to enter him. Paul himself had been changed through God's intervention. Paul speaks in absolutes when it comes to God, because Paul had absolutely seen what God had done in him. The Holy Spirit had worked in Paul, and the Holy Spirit, sent by God, worked through Paul. We United Methodists believe that the Holy Spirit is a part of the active presence of God in our lives. As part of the Trinity, the Spirit serves as an advocate and a helper. The Spirit is with believers at all times to offer support and guidance. In John 15:26, Jesus says, "I will send the Friend to you from the Father. He is the Spirit of truth who comes out from the Father. When the Friend comes to help you, he will give witness about me." The Friend that Jesus spoke of is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit works continuously to deliver believers from wrong choices. The Spirit guides us and helps us by healing us and enabling us to grow to become more like Christ. The Spirit cultivates positive traits in our lives. These traits are often referred to as the fruits of the Spirit. And these fruits include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit empowers every believer. The Spirit empowers you, all of you, with unique abilities to be used in the service of God, God's church, and God's community. You are all gifted by God through the Spirit. You each have a special ability to use for the betterment of yourself, your church, and your community. Consider what might be your special gift. Consider how you might use it. God has trusted you with the abilities you have. God knows that you can do great good in your life and in the lives of others, if you choose to. And this week, think about what you might choose to do with the gifts you have. Talk to me about them. And let's use them for the greater good of the church and our society. Consider also how God is with you always. Consider God's perpetual love for you. Consider, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:18, how wide and long And high and deep is God's love for you. Paul wrote that there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And he's right. Through God is grace. Through the love of God, through the sacrifice of God's Son, we are able to change from wrong to right. We are able to rewrite our lives and change the repercussions that we have been living in. What was bad can be good. Where we were, we no longer have to be. We can move away from our mistakes. We can live confidently in the love given to us by the Maker of all things, the transformer of darkness to light, from death to life everlasting. I get it. It's easy to say, make good choices. It's sometimes hard to figure out what a good choice is. But we have the power and the example and the blessings that allow us to do better, to have more, to be liberated, and to be exonerated from whatever burdens they were. Turn to God. Ask for a peaceful heart and for the wisdom needed to choose the right things. Look to Scripture to make sure that your choice lines up with God's principles. God's word really is a light unto our feet. Discuss major decisions with those you trust, including trusted Christian mentors. Search your conscience. Pay attention to your inner convictions. If an action violates your conscience or does not bring peace, it's wise to pause at what you're doing. Evaluate if your decision produces the fruits of the Spirit, such as love, joy, peace, kindness, and self-control. If it needs to be a commercial for Tootsie Roll Pops, a child asks a presumably wise owl, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? The owl, who can talk, says something to the effect of, let me see, and takes a young boy's Tootsie Pop and begins licking it. A one, a two, a three, crunch. Three, he says, as he has reached the center of the Tootsie Roll Pop by biting into it. The narrator then says, we may never know how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop. Why am I bringing up no commercial about candy in a sermon? Because the world is sweet, and it's hard, and we will be forever tempted to get what we want as quickly as we can. We need to think beyond our immediate satisfaction. We need to think about how what we do affects others. It's not all about us. Everything we do is about everybody. It's about God who gives us everything, and we still don't always listen. What we do affects others. The choices we make, take away, or give to others. And there may have seemed like no real repercussions to the owl, but that one boy never got his answers, and he lost his Tootsie Roll Pop. Good choices are the choices that you make good. Not just for us, but for everyone. Good choices are those outlined by God, that are sanctified by God, and that we become sanctified through. Be careful with your choices, and thank God for God's guidance and grace. Amen.